We've been going through the Westminster Confession of Faith, which is one of the confessions of our church. And so the Westminster Confession of Faith is kind of like they're doctrines of the Bible. So the teachings of the Bible, kind of try to condense them into articles like we've just read. And we started off, kind of how do you know what you know? So right at the beginning, we're talking about the Bible. Okay, what is the Bible? What's it all about? And then it goes on to speak about God. Who is God? And how do we know about God? Well, we know him from the Bible. And so we look at God and who he is. And then we looked at how God created all things and how he made man and how human beings fell into sin and how God in Christ has redeemed mankind, how he saved him, how he's brought him to himself. And then now we're kind of, we've been for a while now talking about kind of the practical implications of that. So how do we look at the government, at civil authorities? How do we look at our lives and doing good things? And a few weeks ago we started looking at the church. What is the church all about? And what is this communion of the saints? And so now over the next three or so sections we're looking at the sacraments. So they're ordinances of the church. Some of the things we do as part of a church. Now what is that all about? It just seems like these strange things that we as Christians sometimes do. What is that all about? And so today we're kind of looking at a sacrament as a bit of a bigger theme, and in the coming weeks we'll look at baptism, and then we'll look at the Lord's Supper. What are they all about? And the church in many ways has been discussing this and been divided over these things for many, many centuries. And some of these things might be a bit uncomfortable because we have differences even amongst us. Or maybe you're new here and you don't know much about the church, you don't know much about Christianity. And some of those, sometimes we think, we're just talking about like the finer points of Christianity. Is this really, really that important? Well, I trust that as we go through today, you'll see the heart of the gospel, the heart of the good news of Jesus as it comes out in the sacraments as well. So, I have 4 points that I want to look at. Oh, and I did want to say as well that the sacraments really are water to a thirsty to someone who's thirsty, right? It's a bit hard to imagine it today. We've got all the rain outside at the moment, but in the middle of summer, maybe you've been tramping for a while, you forgot to take some water with you, or you've been out working in the garden for a while, and you kind of forget about drinking, and you come to the end of the day, and you think, man, I'm thirsty, and you drink some water, and it really, I don't know if you've had this experience, but many of us have, and you just drink the water, and it just feels so good and so refreshing. Well, in many ways, that's what the sacraments are meant to do. They're supposed to be, spiritually, they're supposed to be just this refreshment to the soul. And so we want to see that as we look at that today. I have 4 points. They're not in your bulletin because I was really struggling to get points for the bulletin, but I did get them on Friday. So firstly, we're going to look at the sacraments in the Old Testament gospel. The sacraments in the Old Testament gospel. Because you see, the whole Bible is the story of the good news of Jesus Christ. And that good news comes to us in God's covenant relationship. Now, there's a lot of things being said just there. But sometimes we think of the Bible as kind of like, this is the book by where you have to kind of, this is how you have to live kind of thing. But that's not primarily what the Bible is about. The Bible primarily is about the good news. Jesus is coming. That's the Old Testament. The New Testament, Jesus has come. But in that, and especially as we start with the Old Testament, we need to see that God has come down to human beings in a relationship. He wants to have this relationship with his people. God, the God of heaven and earth, he wants to bind himself in a relationship with people. Now, this is incredible. If you think about the fact that the God of all glory, who is in heaven, beyond any kind of place that the telescope can go, the one who has made the planets, which are billions of light years away, or who's made the billions of galaxies that we know in this world, and who knows all these galaxies and all the billions of stars in each galaxy, this God, he's come to this small planet called Earth, and to these small people in this small planet called Earth, and he binds himself into a relationship with them. And he says to them, I will be your God, and you will be my people. I want to be your God, and you be my people. And God's people are far from deserving it. You look at the story of the people of Israel, for example, through the Old Testament. And the people of Israel, they go off again and again. God rescued them out of Egypt. For example, God rescued them out of Egypt. You know, they're going to start wandering through the desert for 40 years. But they get out of Egypt, and God opens the Red Sea before them so that they can walk on a dry path through the sea. And they've just seen this incredible miracle. 3 days later, they're grumbling. We haven't got any water. We're going to die. Later on, they start grumbling about food. They haven't got any food, and God gives them manna. You see, the people of God, they're constantly wandering away and away, and yet God says, I took you and I loved you. And to show that he is willing to go into a relationship with them, he gives them a sign. Romans chapter 4, verse 4 verse 11, that's Abraham, he received the sign of circumcision. God gives this sign to his people that he wants to go into relationship with him. He shows them this, he gives them this sign, a sign of circumcision, a sign that is bloody. And he says, you are mine. And every time those little boys of Israel were circumcised, it reminded the people of God, I want to enter into relationship with you. And this is the sign that I want to have this relationship with you. Or you think about the Passover. The people of Israel were still in Egypt. And God said to them, I'm going to take you out of Egypt, and we're going to go into the land of Canaan, the land that I've promised you. But there is a sense where you see God, and God wants to dwell among them, and there's a sense where God can't dwell among them. And he can't, because he is holy, and he is perfect, and the people are sinners. And so he says, you kill a lamb, and you take the blood, and you put it on the doorposts of your house. And and there's a sense where God says that I will look at you through the blood that has been shed. And the blood that these Old Testament signs and sacraments were constantly pointing the people of Israel to was one who would have to give his life. Because you see, people can't just come into God's presence. People can't just come into this relationship with God without someone dealing with their sin. And someone was going to have to come and give his life. And all those Old Testament sacrifices, they were merely pointing ahead, pointing to one who would give his life, and that is Jesus himself. And so you see all these Old Testament sacrifices, signs, sacraments, they were all there to point to this Jesus, to point to this Messiah that was to come. Without the Messiah, you cannot come into relationship with me. And so we get to a passage like John chapter 6. Yeah, we are getting to that one. to John chapter 6. And the setting there is John 6 is all about, you know, Jesus has fed the 5,000. Right? And the people think, this is great. I mean, like he could just give us all this food. We don't have to go out and work for the food. And then later on, Jesus said, you know, you're coming here because you just want some food and you just want to have full bellies. That's all you want. But Jesus said, I'm the bread of life. What you really need is not this physical food. For sure, you need that to live. But what you really need is me. And so he says, I'm the bread of life. And then he starts to say things like, you know, you need to eat of me. He says, you know, back in the wilderness, your fathers, they ate manna. God gave them manna again and again. But those people died. And that manna was kind of wasted after a while. But I am the bread of life. I am the bread that's come down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever, Jesus says. And then, so the people started to think, well, I mean, this is strange stuff. This is really strange stuff. We don't understand any of this stuff. But Jesus says, you see, this manna, it's more than just, well, this manna was a sign of God's love for them. But you need more than just the sign. This was just a sign of God's love and mercy to you. But you need more than just the sign. You need me. You need to take hold of me. And so the people said, well, we just really don't understand these things. And then they start to leave. And then Jesus says in verse 63, which is what I wanted to focus on. In verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. You see, these people were just thinking physical things. And Jesus saying, there's something much deeper going on here. What you need to have your sins washed clean. You need me to bring you into relationship with God. Because without me, you will not live forever. You need me if you want to live forever. And so the Spirit must work in the heart so that we might understand by faith and look to the Messiah that was to come. So you see, these Old Testament believers, they had to look ahead. It wasn't just about the manna. It wasn't just about the sacrifices. It wasn't just about the circumcision. It wasn't just about those things. It was about the Messiah that was to come. And so we get to the New Testament, which is my second point, the sacraments of the New Testament gospel. We have exactly the same. God still wants to enter into relationship with his people. In fact, he's still in relationship with his people. And he gives two sacraments to remind them of this relationship, baptism and the Lord's Supper. They were directly given by Jesus when he was on earth. And baptism, Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus said, all power and authority has been given unto me. Go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and I will be with you to the end of the age. So he gives them baptism, and then he gives them as well the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23, where Jesus said, where the Apostle Paul said, I have received from the Lord, I've received from Christ himself what I have delivered unto you, what I'm now telling you. So in other words, God has given this to me to give to you. And then he starts speaking about the Lord's Supper, which Jesus had with his disciples before he went to the cross. But you see, it's very important to see that it's not so much about the sacrament itself. It's not just for we don't just have a sacrament for the sake of the sacrament. Just like in the Old Testament, it wasn't just, you know, the circumcision, it wasn't just the manna, it wasn't just all these things. It wasn't just the sacrament itself, it was a sacrament that was pointing to someone else, to Jesus. And so also the sacraments that Jesus gives in the New Testament are pointing ahead, pointing back to Christ himself. And so those New Testament sacraments are in many ways the same as what all those Old Testament sacrifices and sacraments were all about. The promises are the same, the forgiveness of sins, dealing with the heart, entering into relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Outwardly, it's, of course, completely different. Outwardly, in the Old Testament, the sacrifices were all about, most of the time, were about blood. Because someone had to come and someone had to die. Jesus had to come and die. And in the New Testament, of course, he has died already. He's given his life already. So now it's about. So now it's not a bloody sacrifice anymore. It's not about blood. But it's still about Jesus Christ. You see, the Old Testament believers were saved by faith in the Messiah to come, and the New Testament believers are saved by faith in the Messiah that has accomplished his work. And so you see in this passage here that Jesus, as he's speaking to his disciples, he's saying it's not about the manna or the sacraments or any of these things. What you need and what we here this afternoon need is the Lord Jesus. We need him to cleanse us from sin. We need him to bring us into relationship with God. Because without him, we can't. Without him, we cannot come to God. We need him completely. And so these are spiritual truths, you see, not just these physical outward signs, but they're deep spiritual truths. What it is the Spirit who gives life, the flesh is no help at all. Thirdly, the sacraments and their meaning. We've talked about sacraments, now I want to talk about what they mean, which is a little bit back to front, but I trust it will be helpful. I hope it will be helpful as we go through. Sacraments, as the Westminster Confession of Faith said, sacraments are visible signs and seals of the covenant of grace. So that covenant, that relationship that God wanted to enter into with his people, these sacraments are signs and seals of that relationship. Signs and seals of the covenant of grace. You see, God enters into this relationship. God enters into this covenant, not because he kind of looks at his people and he thinks, such and such there. I think that's a really, really nice person. I think they're gonna do really well. Or maybe he's looking into the future and thinking, I can see they're going to do great things for me. They're going to do wonderful things for me. He doesn't look at people like that. He just merely looks at them and he loves them. Because if you were to look at us because of all the wonderful things we'll do, we'd never get chosen. He looks at us and loves, not because of our deserving. We deserve condemnation. We deserve hell. And yet, he turns to us in love because of Jesus. So that's this covenant of grace, this relationship of grace. But these sacraments are signs and seals of that. Again, Romans chapter 4, verse 11, which I mentioned before, speaking about the Old Testament covenant for sure. Abraham and the covenant of circumcision. There he, Abraham, received the sign of circumcision. So the circumcision or any sacrament is a sign of something. I thought maybe an analogy would be marriage. In marriage, I gave myself to my wife. And in marriage, she gave herself to me. And there's a sense where I bound myself to her and she bound herself to me, so that two, that's what marriage is about, right? The two becoming one. We bind ourselves to our spouse. And when we did that, you know how the marriage ceremony goes. I'm pretty sure most of us know that. There's this, in the middle of the ceremony somewhere, there's this exchange of rings. Nowadays, of course, the engaged couple will probably go out and go ring shopping. You hear about these couples that go ring shopping, and I'm thinking, what's that all about? I suppose a guy, if he goes and buys a ring for her, it's kind of like, well, she's stuck with it for a while, so, better get something that's a bit worthwhile buying or whatever, I don't know, something that looks a bit decent. But the idea, at least originally the idea is, here, I want to give you this ring to show you and to remind you as a sign of my commitment to you, so that whenever I look at my ring and whenever she looks at her ring, she's reminded not of the fact that, well, I'm married, no, of the fact that, she has bound herself to me and I've bound myself to her. It's a sign of that marriage covenant. And so that's what the sacraments are supposed to do as God gives them to us. The sacrament is like that ring, in a sense, that he gives to us. And we're reminded, God, he's bound himself to us. Isn't this incredible? He's bound himself to us. And to do that, he promises that our sins are forgiven because of Jesus Christ. What an incredible truth. And that's what the sacraments are there to do, to remind us of this great truth, as a sign that Christ, that God in Christ has bound himself to us. But the sacraments are signs in that way, but they're also seals. So seal is, in the ancient world, a king, I suppose, he would write maybe something on a scroll, he'd maybe roll it up, and then they'd get some wax and they'd put a wax on there to kind of seal it, and then you'd have most kings and most people in authority would have a signet ring. This was their kind of identification mark, and when the wax was still warm, they would press their their signet ring into that seal, into that wax. That was their, you know, authentication mark. And so the messenger would take that scroll and would bring it to whoever they're supposed to bring it to. And that person, maybe it was another king or another, a judge or a high official or something, would look at that seal and said, yep, this is from the king. Personally from the king. And it guaranteed that this was authentic in marriage. You know, there's that part of the ceremony where, you know, the minister says, well, you may kiss the bride. Some people think, oh, it's the grossest part of the ceremony. Other people think, oh, it's the most romantic part of the ceremony. I don't know. But originally, again, it was meant to be this kind of this authentication. I guarantee that I've given myself to you. This is authentic. This is from me personally. And so sacraments are this guarantee, a guarantee to the believer. What this sacrament promises or declares or says to you, and all the promises, these are true for you. That's what God is saying in the sacraments, you see. They're signs and they're seals. They're signs pointing to what God has done in Christ, and they're seals, this guarantee to his people. Does that mean it's kind of automatic? You know, like, you get baptized and you automatically, you know, the washing away of sins, when you're baptized, you automatically have your sins washed, or you partake of the Lord's Supper and automatically, you know, everything that God promises suddenly becomes yours. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, as long as you kind of do it, then it's all right. No, there's something deeper going on there as well. It's got to do with faith. We believe what God says. We can't just go through the motions, but we need to trust what God says. Trust God's promises. If you can just turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3, page 1016 in the Red Bibles. 1 Peter chapter 3, kind of towards the end of the Bible. Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and Revelation. So a few books back from Revelation. 1 Peter chapter 3. In verse 21, it says there, baptism, which corresponds to this. Now, he's just been speaking about Noah being saved through the flood, right? Noah in the ark, he was saved through the flood. Baptism, which now corresponds to this, to Noah being saved through the flood, now saves you. You might say, well, if I get baptism, that saves me. No. Carry on reading. Not as the removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's the response, the appeal, the response of the believer to God. In other words, I need you, Lord, to work in me. I need you to change my heart and my life. Do that by your Holy Spirit. You see, when we trust in God for salvation, for the salvation that he's promising us in these sacraments, when we trust in God for that, when we believe that, it becomes ours. It is faith that, as it were, takes those promises and they become ours. And that faith, as you believe what the sacrament points to, you hold on to it and you cling to it. What is outwardly symbolized, in other words, by faith becomes ours. It's about faith. It's about trusting in him. And again, that's why in John chapter 6, it's so important to remember that the Spirit gives birth to Spirit. It's not necessarily about the sacraments themselves. It's about what the sacraments point to, and it's by faith we grab hold of that. Finally, briefly, the sacraments and their practice. Okay, so what in do we do with this? Like, you know, are we becoming a little bit too particular about things? Is this kind of like splitting theological hairs? Are we just, is this really relevant to our everyday life? Well, what I think we need to see, firstly, the sacraments aren't signs of my faith. but signs of what God is doing and what God has done and what God is doing for me and in me. You know, we don't come to the Lord's Supper thinking, Lord, you know, please watch me and how I'm doing this because I'm doing this for you. And God will be pleased by that in some sort of way. No, when we come to the Lord's Supper, the Lord says, here I'm gonna feed your souls. I've loved you. And I've come into relationship with you through Jesus. And he's washed away your sins. And here I want to refresh your soul. Same with baptism. This is what God says about you. We need to grab hold of that by faith. Yes. But this is what God says to us. You know, Luther made the comment. I was looking for the comment, but I couldn't find it. But he said something like this. So this is my paraphrase of what Luther said. He said, when you're discouraged and your faith is weak, he said, go back to your baptism. Remember God's promises. Remember what he says to you. Remember what God says in your baptism. And so you see, when we see the sacraments, when we partake of the sacraments, it's not just the sign that we kind of just do and go through the motions. It's not just a ceremony for the sake of doing a ceremony. But it's by faith we cling to what Jesus has done and to what God promises in those sacraments. What God says to me, what the Father says to me, I've loved you. What Christ says to me, I'm willing to give my life for you. What the Spirit says to us as he promises to live in us. And then it becomes a joy and a delight. Then it becomes refreshment to our souls. Amen. Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, we pray for your work in our lives. Lord, you make beautiful and precious promises. I will be your God. You will be my people. What a glorious truth that is. Would you grant us by faith to hold on to that and to trust in our Lord and Savior, Jesus. If there are any here this afternoon who do not know this Savior, oh Lord, would you show them their deep need of him? And would you grant them to hold on to this Savior and to trust him and to know that in him we can find forgiveness of sins? Would you work this evening among us for your glory and honor? Amen.